What's up, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the first episode of season three of the Bonus Point Podcast. I know it's been a long time since we've been on the airwaves, but busy schedules have cleared up, the stars have aligned, and we're now back to talk about some rugby. If this is your first time listening to us, we are a podcast that focuses predominantly on rugby in the Pacific and the international rugby scene. But funnily enough, my co-host and I are based in the United States. So we're out here, we're trying to grow the game in one of the most sports-crazy countries in the world. And I know it's a bit of an odd concept to grasp, but we move thousands of miles away from home. All we still want to talk about is footy in the Pacific. So that's just what we're going to do today. The first episode of the year is going to be very special because we've got not one, not two, but four special guests joining us on our show today. Some very familiar voices and some amazing content coming your way. So strap yourselves in, get comfortable, and we're going to take you on a journey. This is the Bonus Point Podcast. Thank you for tuning, everyone. My name is TJ Olsen, and I'm very excited to be back behind the mic chatting up a storm about everything footy. But as usual, I get pretty lonely doing this by myself, so I need my partner in crime to come and help me with some incredible insight and some hilarious banter as well. So please welcome back on for another season of the Bonus Point Podcast, Mr. Tavita Halafia. What's up, brother? How are we doing?
What's happening, man? It's good to be back, actually. I've missed just talking some smack.
just jumping behind the mic and just like saying controversial things.
Just saying things. Look, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but we're having fun every single time.
No, that's good. It's been way too long between drinks. I mean, not for us actually in person, but but before we jump into the first two segments, I have two things I want to go over with you. The first thing, we happen to be recording this episode on someone's birthday. I mean, happy birthday, big man. I know the weather here in LA is bloody terrible, but how's your birthday been so far, bro?
Mate, I'm recovering from some sickness. So it's been all right, actually. I've been in bed all day, which has been awesome. So it's nice to not be in bed, but beside it at the moment so we could, get this chat going.
But the second thing I want to go over. So we're now 2 weeks into Super Rugby. The round three matches, they're being played this weekend. But a lot has happened over this 2 weeks. So we've had a thrilling round one. Super Round in Melbourne happened in week two, and it featured a lot of amazing matchups. It featured some controversial actions by a fan favorite. And Sonny Bill in a tank top trying to get a tan while commentating. So I think that's always been a good one. Just having a good time.
I'll give Super Rugby is really doing the best that they can to get viewership up, aren't they? And Sonny Bill in a tank top. Look, even I liked seeing that.
Yeah, short of porn, I think that's the closest they're going to get to pulling it off. But yeah, so I want to get your overall feeling about Super Rugby Pacific. So how have you enjoyed the first two rounds?
The first two rounds have been good. I think, look, I hate to say it, but what we knew was going to happen has happened. The Kiwi Super Rugby teams are looking pretty good. Outside of the Blues Brumbies game, which I thought was probably the best Super Rugby match level we've seen in over a decade. All of it's going pretty much how we thought it would go. I am loving seeing a bunch of new players getting some shine across both Super Rugby continents. That's been really awesome to see. And it's been entertaining rugby, I think. I think it's been really entertaining rugby, which is, I think, a good shift from seeing sort of what's happened in Clubland the last couple of years and moving up into those fellas moving up into the ranks. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously it's late night for us and I really don't mind going to sleep at 3 a.m. after watching some good quality rugby.
Yeah, no, I feel you, brother. It's like I said at the top of the episode, like it's been good to just like get back behind it. And we're in a unique position. Like we've flown thousands and thousands of miles away from this place, but we still just want to chat about the same competition that we were watching growing up. It's been an interesting one.
It's the best competition, domestic competition, isn't it? I mean, Could be biased, but
yeah. Other people come out and say it's the premiership and other stuff, and we're sitting here going, yeah, keep having your jokes over there.
That's the case, just watch a Chiefs rugby game this year, either the men or the women's, and tell me that isn't fire rugby.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Yeah, even with the women's competition that has been introduced, like it's been quite phenomenal. Just the skill set alone, I think the World Cup from the women's side is just kind of spring-loaded everything into fruition that New Zealand's been pushing for with a professional competition. I do hope to see some crossover. We have seen obviously some trial games and other things like that with the Waratahs playing the Chiefs with the women, and it's been quite interesting. But hopefully we can finally come to bringing it into a blended competition like it is with the men. 100%. I would love to see that.
100%.
So, like I said at the top of the episode, I was very fortunate enough to not have just one, not two, but four amazing guests for this first episode. And we're going to jump to our first segment, which is all about one of the newest teams. I know one that is very near and dear to your heart. And I'm talking Moana Pacifica. We'll be right back.
Maybe.
All right, this segment, we're back and we're ready to talk about Moana Pacifica. Very excited to have someone that I was able to coach with in my year in New Zealand in 2018 at Ponsonby Rugby Club and with Auckland Rep Stuff. Someone who is very ingrained in the camp as well, obviously having his son who just made his debut the last couple of weeks playing for Moana Pacifica. So very excited to have on the show Michael Mau. Welcome to the show, brother. Thank you so much, all the way from Polyfest. I know you're a busy man these days.
Thanks so much, bro. It's just been great to be able to reconnect with you. And yeah, it's been really a really exciting time for our family.
No, I bet, man. And I know the first question I want to ask you is, how has been the transition going from being a very avid Auckland Blues fan to now becoming a big Moana Pacifica fan? How's that transition gone?
I call it Moana Blue, so that I get the best of both worlds. But yes, obviously we're supporting our family first, and having our son play for Moana has just been huge for us. And it's really good because they are the only Pacifica side in the Super Rugby franchise. So it's been good for us and good for our entire family to be supporting.
Yeah, no, I bet. So we talk about family, we talk about that. So I just want to say big congratulations to you and your family on Jonah being selected in this team, because he's had an incredible season with Northland coming off that. And now he's kind of earned his stripes now, and he's come in and he's just hit the ground running. So, and I know you had the privilege, you and your partner, of presenting the jersey for his debut match against the Fijian Drua. So the first question I want to ask is, what was that experience like being able to be a part of that and present that jersey?
Honestly, it was such an emotional time for us. We've got so many different connections that are aligned to Moana. So, being asked to present his jersey, it was definitely something that's been on my bucket list for so long, but I never was quite sure, if it ever happened. I've presented a number of jerseys, but never to one of my own. So that was quite huge. And then having my wife there, he didn't know it was going to happen. We told him to go off to training, and he went off at 6:30 in the morning, and we pretended that we were going to be going off to work like normal and everything else. But yeah, then we got invited in, and we were hiding in the medical bay for about 20 minutes while the team was going through their work and their final briefing before they went out on their captain's run. And then we kind of came around the corner, got announced by Danny to come through and present his jersey. And I actually chucked up my speech onto my Facebook just to share with my family, and just to thank everyone that's been involved in Jonah's journey. If you didn't know, Jonah was actually brought in as a short-term contract way back in December.
Oh, really? Yeah.
4 weeks. He came in as a short-term contract and got extended 4 weeks at the end of each part of his contract. And so when you see him finding out that he was starting, that you could tell how shocked, how much it meant to him, and just the fact that he'd actually finally got to that goal.
Yeah. No, I think it's you wouldn't be able to tell with just like his tenacity and his work ethic. You'd think that he'd be signed on to a 5-year deal and he'd just be hitting the ground running, because I feel like although there are a lot of amazing Pacific rugby players out there. I feel like he's a very hot commodity at the moment, and that's not me being biased, obviously, because I'm close to you and your family, but I think that he's just been something that has been a really big impact for not just Northland, not just for Moana, but just for rugby in general back in New Zealand. So it's been really good. But I think that leads us into the next question is, obviously, you've got a pretty close inside track to the team. Like, you know, a few players like Sam Slade that played at Ponsonby, and then there's obviously some amazing talent that is sprinkled into this team. A Levi Almua, a Christian Liliafano. You've got a handful of other people that are really making names for themselves as good Pacific and amazing Pacific talents. What do you think the difference is between last year and this year, now that Moana is kind of coming and they've just hit the ground running?
It's such a different team, though, because, like, when we kind of looked at it and we look at how professional our established franchises are. And so that first year, it was a lot about, you know, finding their feet and just understanding who they were to start off with. But you can see that, and because we're also connected to the Taniwha, we saw the professionalism at a NPC level. But it's, again, just another level when it comes to super. You know, you've got so much more support around you. There's definitely a lot more strategic thought into it. It's not just like go out there and play. The players are put through the processes in regards to making sure they understand all the different processes that they're going to be playing through, all the different scenarios. And then you've got just being like, you know, good people outside of that rugby arena. And like, you know, they've done so much community work to re-engage all our community, especially because, like, you know, we've had the recent flooding here in Auckland. So there's been a bit of disruption at the beginning of the year. But our boys are still getting out there. They were delivering food parcels a couple of weeks ago, and now they're out in the heat of Perth.
Yeah, that's definitely not everybody's cup of tea. That's something I'd definitely steer away from that if I could, that bloody heat.
Yeah.
I think it's just the island way. It's something that's always been something is no matter what the trials and tribulations are, is you know that you get behind the whānau, you get behind the aiga, and you just try and back each other, and you try and be there for one another. And I think that's the very unique thing about Moana is that even though some of these guys who have come into the mix very early on and they don't have an idea about what professionalism because they're so young, they're just learning how to navigate, just playing rugby in general at this level. I feel like you look at their Instagram stories, you look at a whole bunch of different things, you see that they're connected on a level that a lot of other teams, they have to work a long time to build that culture and try and find that connection. So I think that's going to be something that really strings them along and gives them a good opportunity to make a good headway. But this leads me into my last question is Moana's X factor. What do you think it is where they can get to that top eight and have a chance at playoffs? Because you've seen them play a very tough game against the Gallagher Chiefs where a lot of people were writing them off, but they put together a lot of good phases. They took it to a very tough and very strong Fijian Drua team that are in a similar boat to Moana. What do you think is going to be the X factor that could put them in that top eight and give them a chance in the playoffs and wins Super Rugby?
I think for our boys at the moment, like, you know, I counted how many All Blacks were in that starting 15 for the Chiefs. And, you know, it was already a bit of a mountain to climb to start off with. But that self-belief that they had in that second half, to come back out and win that second half the way they did, you know, you can understand that, like, you know, they're very resilient, that they understand that, like, you know, they can trust in themselves. And the X factor that you're talking about is the team. You know, it's not one individual, and typical to our Pacifica, you know, we work collaborative and we're looking to build as a team. So if we're going to win, it's going to be us as a team, not just that one individual player.
No, I 100% agree. As me as a very big Chiefs fan, you know it. I was nervous in the second half. I don't care what the score was. As soon as they came out and they would just hit the ground running, I was sitting there going, man, I really hope we don't screw this one up. It was an interesting one to watch. But so you guys got the Western Force coming up this weekend after a big super round that's just happened. What do you guys think the chances are of coming against Western Force? Do you think you guys got this one?
I know that the team's just been announced. It's just been put up on Facebook, and a few changes. So Jonah's coming off the bench this week. He's had a big couple of weeks, so, you know, it's good to see him getting a little bit of rest but still being able to come off and as an impact player. I know that what we're looking for is a bit more consistency. So they're looking at the games ahead, but still taking care of business that's coming up. So I think it's going to be a really strong performance for the boys. They've had a good week on it. I've had a chance to talk to Jonah a couple of times over this week, and you know, it's not the pressure. It's more the case that you know they're feeling a little bit more relaxed because you know it is a stage that they're starting to get comfortable in.
No, that's good. Well, I wish them all the best. I mean, it's going to be a good battle going up against the Force, but it was good to catch up with you, brother. I know it's been a long time, even if it is just virtual. It's always good to chat to you and pick your brain about stuff, and I hope to see you on the other side of the world pretty soon. But yeah, any final words before I let you go?
Just thank you so much for this reaching out to us. Like, you know, we've been watching your podcast as well. So, yeah, we get some laughs every now and then, and we've seen some familiar faces. Just a word to our Moana team. Like, you know, thank you to all those guys who've had the, you know, been in the big show and they're sharing their knowledge with our boys. You know, it means a lot to them. I know that Jonah's spoken so much about Christian and what he's you know, taking them under his wing. And again, it's just like, you know, where do you get that kind of stuff from? You know, you're so fortunate to be around it, and you just got to make the most while you're there.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, brother, thank you so much for joining. We're going to jump into our next segment talking about some more Super Rugby Pacific teams. We'll be back in a second. Man, it was such a good time having a chat to Michael Mau, obviously very ingrained in the Moana Pacifica camp, getting us a lot of good insights into a lot of different aspects, like their trajectory as a team, the struggles of the team. I did really like, though, the aspect that he provided, that even though they were going through the floods in Auckland, the boys are still embodying that Islander, that Pacifica nature, as they're getting out, they're helping the community, they're doing all that stuff with the food drives and things like that. And I feel like we've always known this growing up in Polynesian households and obviously knowing that type of culture. I feel like if they're able to get a couple years under their belt and with the people that are in their camp, I feel like the sky's the limit for this team. Like their team may on paper be less experienced, but hearing the fact that Jonah and a few of the other boys are being taken under the wing by someone like Christian Leiliafano, it's quite phenomenal how much opportunity this team's getting such early on in their tenure as a Super Rugby team. What did you enjoy most about Moana in the last couple of weeks?
You know, I think we always knew that, you know, the Fijian Enjoy and the Moana Pacifica team, it wasn't going to be an easy slog coming into the competition. I think what they've done really well is, regardless of, I think we can all admit what we've seen with Moana Pacifica is they really fight till that 80th minute. They don't stop. And that's just, that just goes into exactly what this team is embodying. And it goes to show where they're coming from. You know, whether it's playing their first player from Samoan club rugby and developing him, you know what I mean? Like, these are stories that don't exist. Do you know what I mean? This is historic, and I think what we can see is they are wearing their hearts in their sleeves like most of the Pacifica nations do at World Cups, but now we're seeing in a domestic competition. I honestly, what I've loved the most of them is they just, regardless of the scoreline, they just attack.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think is helping the competition thoroughly in regards to bringing some eyes to rugby. And man, they've had some of the biggest hits thus
far. Bro, yeah, some of them I looked at and I was like, oh man, you guys did a bad idea letting these boys in the competition. You're going to be sore for a few weeks.
You know, there's some freshness to it that I really enjoy.
Oh man, no, that's good stuff. And I know I was listening to Michael talk about just how they've made a couple of different changes to the squad. And I feel like, you know, when you look at teams like they're resting certain players or people have gotten injured, and they kind of have to make decisions as a Super Rugby club to go, like, we're going to put out the best lineup we got and we're struggling a little bit. But I feel like because these guys haven't had too much opportunity, like we saw with Tonga the previous year, how they had to name like a lot of guys that were playing club rugby in a test match against the bloody All Blacks. It's pretty crazy. I feel like a lot of these guys have come into the camp. They've had a decent preseason. They're now able to throw guys out and just go, just give us what you got, and then we can give you like big refining points. Like I know Tongan International, I believe it's Nikolai Folakai. I think he earned in the match day 23 this week against the Western Force. I feel like a lot of these guys, they're just going to take the ball and run with it. No pun intended, but literally it's just going to be something. They're given an opportunity, and you know, a lot of Polynesian boys, they just go for it.
Yeah, look, I think the foundation that they're setting right now across the board is monumental. And I think moving forward, don't be shocked if we start seeing Moana Pacifica start going deep into the competition. And I think within the next 6-7 years, it wouldn't be wrong to think that they could take out a super title, especially with more funding coming their way. And selection processes could refine a little bit. We could start seeing some, you know, large acts that have gone overseas start coming back to play for Moana if they're already paying for Tonga or Fiji. Look, wouldn't it be wonderful to see players like Malachi Fekitoa, you know, Charles Biltau, you know, George Moala come back, play for Moana Pacifica, and then go off to play for Tonga, you know, in tests during the year. And this is what Moana Pacifica are really setting up to do. And they're really starting to thrive and really set the standards for South Pacifica rugby. And, you know, we just got to face facts. The South Pacific, you know, we've turned out so many great rugby players for other countries. Now we've got a team that we can, you know, filter through who can get paid and who can go on to play for, you know, your Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, you know, any other South Pacific team.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's but it's good to see a lot of Pacific names get their go ahead in a lot of different teams. So obviously Falakai, for which I spoke about previously, he's going to be named on the Western Force on the back end of the bench, but we've got a lot of young guys getting their shot. It's going to be interesting to see, because I think against the Western Force this weekend, they obviously had a tough go around against the Reds scoring that, but they've got some pretty impressive players. Like they've got Chase Tiati at fullback. They've got Flau Fainga in hooker. And it's like, it's not a scrub team, which I think a lot of people are looking at and going like, like you've got Tony Pulu on a left wing, who's one of my favorite wingers of like, not all time, but of Chiefs all time. He's pretty solid.
That game's going to be good. Obviously, I know who I'm going for. But like you said, it's going to be a really good team. It's a good matchup. You know, both have had a couple of tough games to start off the season, and both are going to be looking to try and grab that, grab a good win.
Yeah, no, I agree. So let's talk about the other expansion team just really quickly before we go into our next segment. So the Fijian draw. So I think they've got their biggest test ahead of them this weekend. I believe they're playing the Crusaders, and they've just come off two solid weeks of footy. And I think I was watching another podcast listening just about Fijian players in general. And it's just something they're just providing a whole new element to this competition. Just with the offload game alone is just something that is crazy. And just their how dynamic and how just a lot of things just come naturally to them, because they're the kids that are playing on the beach in the barefoot and just chucking around the football and playing Fiji touch. Like they've just got to put some crazy things together to not get touched or it's a turnover. So with the Fijian draw in the last two games, what are you most excited about seeing against this pretty tough Crusaders side?
Look, the thing with the Fijian and draw, I think it's fair to say that naturally they're probably the best athletes across the Super Rugby board. Across all the teams, they're just naturally gifted. You know, I believe Matt Gitter referred to them as cement blocks. They're the roadrunner, but cement blocks. And they've got skills that, you know, you wish you could learn in a lifetime, but you just can't. What I'd like to see is a little bit more structure and patience in their gameplay. I think they try. I think more often than not, they do try to get that extra meter and a half when really maybe just going to ground, getting a good clean ball to the backs, or a nice hit up off that ruck is the play. But they play instinctually. And so that does pay off too. I think playing a Crusaders side that are so structured, if they can disrupt that structure, their type of gameplay could go a long way for them to, you know, perhaps stay in the game and maybe even one more, get a little bit of an upset. But I think without the structure, if they can't play patient, structured rugby, It could be a long day at the office for them, unless they disrupt the Crusader structure. Which, look, we've seen it time and time again. Sometimes they're just very good at it. And when the Fijian and Drua are on, good luck.
Yeah. So I think for me, it's one thing about the Fijian teams is they always get up for the biggest opponents. Like I think, yeah, Fiji and Moana, that was a really good test. Like two very physical teams, but you saw it in the World Cup time and time again when, like, for example, I don't know how it always happens, but Fiji always seems to be in the pool with Australia and obviously two completely different teams, but Fiji always goes, all right, it's on. Like, let's go tackle it. And they just get up just because they relish a challenge. It's something that's going to be really, really interesting to see. So although I am not a very big Crusaders supporter at all, I do want to give a shout out to a Waikato local, Taha Kamara, who just got his debut cap for the Crusaders. Ooh. He's going to be coming off the bench. He's going to be a very, very talented player coming into Super Rugby for the very near future. So I wish him all the best. But let's go across the ditch a little bit. And I'm going to jump to our next segment because we had someone that you know pretty well with a lot of good banter from Pig Athletic Club, Sione Helu. Yeah, look, he throws some good chat around.
Mate, Sione and I need to be on the same podcast at the same time because we'll have to start an OnlyFans for rugby podcast because it could get a little too much.
I would pay so much. I wouldn't even care about the price. You guys could rack up that price to whatever you want. I'm paying. I want to hear that every day of the week. That'd be amazing. Oh, okay, but let's push it on. We're going to go straight to that next segment because there's some pretty good banter chatting all about the Queensland Reds. We'll be right back. All right, on our next segment, we're talking everything Queensland Reds, and we've got someone who's got the inside track on everything Aussie rugby. He's got one of the funniest rugby podcasts known to man, sharing out quality content every week, lots of great banter, and lots of good segments that I don't think would be allowed on Stan Sports. So it's good stuff, but we're very excited to have on the show Mr. Pig Athletic Club himself, Sione Helu. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having us on, mate.
No, of course, man. So before we get to the questions about and chat about everything Reds, I want to have a chat because I know you're fresh off Bangkok 10s tour with the Pack Boys, and I saw a few videos where you're looking like you're having a ball, and then a couple you're looking pretty dusty. So how was the trip?
Yeah, it was overall a good trip. Good to be back in Asia on tour. But for myself, individually, I had a bit of a shocker. Went too hard. Went too hard on the second night and ended up waking up on the street in Thailand. So wouldn't recommend it, but definitely it's good to be back in Asia touring again.
Mate, I think we always need one of those, but I think you have too many of those nights.
Yeah, yeah. I've been up since then, so I've learned my lesson for now.
That's what I did after LA Sevens. Is we had a big one, and then I was like, "Yep, I just need a good solid break off it." But it was good to see a few of the boys in the budgies trying to have a chat to a few of the locals and get around it. It looked like a good time.
I haven't been on a drink before then. Was the last time I saw you? That was a big night. Yeah. So after that, it was similar. Blackout, woke up on the street in Brisbane. So hopefully this time, second time lucky, I'll learn my lesson.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to learn our lesson, mate. But we'll keep trying to do it. But let's start chatting about everything Queensland Reds. So the first thing I want to pick your brain about is Brad Thorne still the coach of this crop of talent, or does the coaching change need to happen? Because I know there's been a couple of comments here in the media saying he's done all he can as a coaching contingent. What do you think is the best way to go? Do we stick with Brad Thorne in the Queensland Reds, or do we need to change at Ballymore?
I think they've done well recruiting McKinnon from UQ over the offseason. So I think it could possibly keep Thorny there for a little bit longer and see how it goes. But just because Mick takes a lot of the stress away from Thorny, from the other coaches, because he's good at doing those little things. Like we had Liam Rong is right on the Pack Show last night, and he explained it well. Mick Keenan, his resume goes well. He's been in club rugby for so many years, and I think he's been in 12 Premier League, Premier Grade Grand Finals. So in the last probably 16 years or so. So I think his resume speaks for itself. And if not Thorny, I think McKinnon can jump straight in because it's been a long time coming for him to be jumping up into higher ranks. but he's put his kids first, I'm pretty sure, the last few years, and didn't want to go a bit any higher. So I think if not Thorny, then McKinnon definitely. But I think Thorny still has value a lot. Wrong has praised Thorny for a lot of the hard work that he's done throughout his career. So I think it's probably half-half, because you see some of the old heads, they have left and gone elsewhere, and including Nella, who's also jumped ship. But then again, sometimes you do need that change as a player to refresh, you know, get more excitement in the game. So I still reckon Thorny's got probably a few more years at the Reds, and also for himself. I'd like to see him somewhere else other than the Reds, just hopefully not at the, in New Zealand, because he could do some damage once again.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I think it's like sometimes it's kind of, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I feel like you said, the culture change, it's something that usually has to happen. It's never just the person that is the, like, one person is the problem. It's sometimes you just need that change, and you do have a bigger crop of talent coming in, and then like little pieces coming in here and there. But let's chat about the team itself, because we just saw this team come off a game against the Force and score 71 points, which is the most points ever scored in Queensland history. But they also suffered a big loss against the Hurricanes in round one. So what do you think gives this team a big chance to win this this title this season?
I think that blowout score in round one was more so that they had those two yellow cards at the same time. So I don't think we should look into it that much. I think the squad, they've got the depth in the squad to go all the way, mixed with a lot of old heads like James O'Connor, and then a lot of young guns. And some of those young guns have been in the system for a few years. Like, you just have a look at Fluke. He's probably one of their best players in the first two rounds. And when he first came in the squad straight out of high school, a lot of the boys, similar to a lot of the other young kids that have gone straight from high school to the Reds, a lot of us older heads were like, oh, what the, it's another... You know, he has improved himself, but he could be on the he's already on the radar for Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones has spoken about Josh Fluke. So I think they've got the squad, they've got the talent, they've definitely got the coaches. So I think they're going to be a dark horse. I still think Brumbies and Waratahs are probably our top two Aussie teams at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I think Reds are a real dark horse, especially with Liner at 10. Real big fan of Liner.
That one's been a bit interesting. Like, a lot of people were a bit worried if they were Reds fans, or they just didn't know how to feel about it. But I think he's come out and he's just hit the ground running, man. Like, he's done a really good job. And he's got obviously big shoes to fill when it comes to filling in James O'Connor. But I think he's done a pretty good job so far, and I'd love to see where he's going.
With him when they first signed him from England. I was skeptical as well, because he was still 17 or 18 when they signed him. I'm like, they signed him just because of his last name, his dad. But then when he played a trial game against the Force, I think last year, he started that trial game. It was him and Spencer Jean in the halves, and he was steering the ship, and he's got a massive boot. So I rate him ever since that first game. It was unlucky with injuries last year, but he looks the goods.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the next question I want to throw at you really quickly is just, in the squad, you obviously got a good handle on most of the squad coming in, and there's a couple of people that have come back into the mix, like Seth Farsi, who's come from playing overseas, and he's right back in. And there's a few Wallabies, is like, I say that lightly, but who's going to be probably one of the players that you look at and you say they're going to be the one that's really going to drive it home for the Queensland Reds?
I think it's going to come down because they've lost Nella, and that's a massive loss to any pack. So I think it's going to be the front row. That's where they're going to struggle. But in the first two rounds, it seems like they've got it. They've got it under control with the young props, Zane Nongor, and then they've got this Ravi, the Fijian import. Mm-hmm. So I think if they stay injury free, they're going to be massive keys to the success of the Reds. But I think Jordan Patea, especially last weekend, he's a freak. And everyone's been hyping up for the last few years, and he's sort of been inconsistent, but I think he's going to have a massive, him and Josh Fluke, like, they're going to be massive pillars to how the Reds go. And I think James O'Connor as well. He's had a good off-season working on his injury. Like, well, not a good off-season, he's been injured, but I think he's ready to, because he's coming to the end of his career, and I think he's ready to push, not only for Super Rugby, but also try and get a ticket to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think that Jordy Bataille's nickname does need to be renamed Freak, because it's just ridiculous. Some of the things, like the consistency, definitely is something that he's been working on. It's been getting better, but man, yeah, ever since I saw him just growing up and playing footy just in club, like you see some of the things he does and you go, how the hell do you even do that? It's just insane.
A few times you just watch him and he's like, oh, he doesn't want to be there, and then he's just palming guys off. Line breaks. I'm like, okay, he's
right. Okay, son, you have a crack. It's all good. But okay, so last question. We've got a couple of, I guess you can call them Aussie derbies, because I think some people have been considering the Fijian Drua and Aussie team in the competition, because Moana is considered the New Zealand team. But you've got a very tough battle against the Brumbies coming up, and then you've also got the Fijian Drua coming up the following week. Do you think the Reds have now come off the back end of that? They've got momentum from that big win, and they can tackle this really tough Brumby side and a very physical Fijian Drua side.
I don't think we could read into the Force, because they're struggling in themselves. But I think this is going to be a massive test, because the Brumbies, they look hot. Like they did the Blues last weekend. So I think the Brumbies, and also Brumbies pack, that's where the difference is, and that's where
lots of line-out mauls. It was just like it was beautiful to watch. Like I'm not even a forwards coach, and I'm still watching it, just going, geez, it's beautiful to watch.
But then again, the Reds are on the up. They've got Liam Rongers right back. That was his first game in a long time last weekend. So I think it's going to be a close one this weekend. But I'm backing the Brumbies this weekend, unfortunately, because I'm a massive front-row fan.
I would too. If you're a gambling man, you always back the front row.
They've got one of my favorite clubland players from the last 2 years in the shield on the bench. Blake Shoup is one of the best loose head props coming up. So, and Rhys van Neck, also one of the best tight heads in club rugby for East a few years ago. And then last year he had a bit of injury at the Rebels, but he looks hot. He was in the team of the week last week for Rugby Australia. So, but if the Reds happen to topple the Brumbies, I think they're going all the way, mate. Champions League.
Yeah, there you go. That's good stuff. Okay. Well, if anybody's interested in having a good time on tour or just enjoying some good content, be sure to follow the Pig Athletic Club on social media. These guys, man, I don't know how many times I've been at work and I've been having a crappy day and all I do is see your feed and I go, everything's all good. Just get to have a good laugh. But just before I let you go, brother, any shout-outs, anything you want to say before I shoot you off?
Just shout-out to the USA Eagles. I know you guys are, down in the dumps the last few years, but good things are coming. Good things are coming.
Oh, man. You love a good gut punch, but positivity. It's a backhand slap. I love it. It's good stuff. But thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. Jumping on the pod, taking out of time. You're a very busy day with the video editing and all that stuff. But hopefully we'll be able to get you back on soon and we'll be able to have a good yarn about some rugby coming in the later games of the season.
We'll do, mate. We'll have to get you on ours as well.
Oh, thanks, mate, for having us. Would love it. I don't know if I can keep up with your banter, but we'll see how we go. All right, we'll jump into our next segment. We're following everything Super Rugby Pacific. We'll be back. Man, I don't know about you. Obviously, you were just an innocent bystander watching that one, but I had so much fun just recording that segment with Sione. Like, it's like he provides so many good insights, but then he brings like some little banter out. That is,
mate,
just,
I don't know how he doesn't have his own TV show yet.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Stan Sports, they need to bloody get on board. We need to see on there on TV in Australia and New Zealand.
Well, I think the only thing is, it's like, you know how they have like here in America is they have like some animated cartoon series and they have the regular episodes and they have what's called like Adult Swim, where it's
he's 100% the Adult Swim rugby.
Right. Like you can't have a segment on your social media and on your podcast talking about which position has the biggest slong.
I just listened to that episode today, actually.
Mate, when I was sitting there, I was actually watching it, and one of my coworkers was sitting next to me, and he's just learning newly what rugby is and like getting that, and he was like, schlong's like genitalia, right? And I was like sitting there going, he's like how do they know this information? I was like, I don't think you want to ask that question, they've been in some dark places that I don't think we'll ever go.
They've done the research, they're proper journalists.
Oh, mate. Yeah. So if you guys ever want to laugh, go and follow the Pig Athletic Club. They've got some quality content. And I'm not
safe for work. Not safe for work. Yeah.
You got to turn the volume down and then play it and then put it up to your ear and go, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's PG.
That's kinda. Exactly right.
But yeah, it's even just their social media. I watch some of their videos that they cut together. Oh man, they're
look,
good,
I could be a little too old, but I think I want to go on a tour with them at some point.
Right, I was kind of thinking about it, but I was sitting there listening to him talk because he was telling me the last time in the segment, the last time he got on the sauce that hard was when he was with me when I came over for Christmas, and I was sitting there just remembering the hangover that I had. And I was sitting there going, Nah, I think I'm good. I think I'll just watch from afar. I could be convinced. I could be convinced. We'll see.
We'll have to have a chat to him. Maybe we need the Pack Podcast US edition, you know?
Well, I know one of the boys that I coached at Cal Poly, he went on one of the tours with them, I think at Maggot Fest, one of the biggest competitions here. And he came back and he was like, you know those boys, eh? And I go, yeah, bro. And he goes, that was one of the most funnest rugby tournaments I've ever.
And then he's like, never again.
Right. He's like a guy that parties hard. So if he's saying that and he's had that much fun, I'm sitting there going, okay, like that's the perfect sign off. Let's get back to chatting about the footy. So we got some quality insight about the Queensland Reds from Sione, and I want to chat a little about the Waratahs and the Brumbies. So I think let's chat about the Waratahs first, because obviously we've been pretty close to their coach, Darren Coleman. We were fortunate enough to watch him come through the Giltini system and transform it from 1 year in and win a title. And the Waratahs team, like I was fortunate enough to go and attend one of their training sessions and get to chat to a few of the boys that have come over back from LA and a few people that have come through the system. I think that they're probably outside of the forward dominance that the Brumbies show, I think if they get on the right foot with the attacking, I think that the Waratahs are a real force to be reckoned with. Not top totally eight. Agreed. Like I think like if they get on a good foot, they're at least top four. What are you seeing from the Waratahs that really, really gives you insight that they can take it all the way?
Well, yeah, we got to think only a few years ago, they were bottom of the ladder. They weren't winning anything.
Mm-hmm.
This turnaround is not only just a shift in talent. I think it's a shift in mental space as well. Their recruitment drive in the last 2 years has been astounding. Not that they're getting big names, but they're developing these players into big player moment plays. So, you've got someone like Maher, who's come back from LA, gone straight in and is making a stamp at hooker, which is a coveted position in Australian rugby right now. And that doesn't matter if he's starting or coming off the bench, you know. Even someone like Nems, who, you know, let's be honest, probably doesn't have the pace that a lot of these super wingers have right now. But what he provides on that wing is he's literally the only player in super rugby right now that can do that.
Yeah.
So I think and what DC's done is just transform the mentality of this team and the squad. And I can't remember a Waratahs team whose talent had this much depth. Where they've struggled in recent years, like having a good first 15 and then sort of, you know, their bench wasn't as strong as someone, say, like the Reds, who were just stacked and stacked. Yeah. I think the Waratahs have really done, like the front office have done a really good job. And what DC is doing with this team and just really driving it forward. I've heard a couple of different interviews from the boys, and they're all saying the same thing. Like he's just a little off kilter, bringing a couple of different things to the squad that's making them just think a little differently. Instead of thinking laterally, you know, they're sort of thinking up and down, side to side, diagonal, you know what I mean? And so that just offers up a different way to process what's happening on the field. And you can really see that in their gameplay.
Yeah. Well, I remember telling you is when I was first talking to Luke White, Whitey, when he first got to the Giltinis, and he'd been coached by DC before. And I came up and I was just chatting to him, and I'd been newly in the camp and started doing like some of the academy stuff and just chatting to the boys and getting to know some of them that I didn't really know. And I came up and I was like, out of all the coaches, what do you think about DC? Like, how does he stack up? Because I know you've had a pretty like big career. And he goes, mate, he's easily my favorite coach of all time. It's not just because of what he brings from the X's and O's. It's not from his work ethic, but he's one of the guys that he's a player's coach. He's someone that can really come into the mix, and he comes in at somewhat of an emotional level, and he methodically thinks about how can I break down barriers and really bring this team together. And I think when you've got, like you said, like Nems and a few other older heads that are coming into the team, and then you've got other guys that are coming in that are very, very young into the professionalism and Super Rugby, like Tane Edmund and Jorgensen and other guys that have been around the New South Wales camp for a long time, having to bring all those pieces together. I've honestly never seen a team going through a preseason training block and be so relaxed and so ready just to jump in, and they rip in and they may drop a couple balls, they may do something, but everything's sticking and they're ready to push each other the best way. Like they're getting the most out of the team. So yeah, no, I agree. I think when it comes to DC and the element that he provides to the side, plus the arsenal of players, like, you know how much I'm a big fan of Charlie Gamble at the moment in this Waratahs team,
mate, but what do you mean?
Yeah,
sign me up.
No, oh, he's great. But yeah, it's looking really good. So I think they could be a really, really big force to be reckoned with. I think they just got to keep going along. And I think Mike said it about Moana Pacifica, and I think a couple other guys said it as recently, is these teams don't have to win every game. Like, every team is going to be a big derby. It doesn't matter if it's a Western Force or a Crusaders or an Auckland Blues. It's gonna be a good game. It's just how you just continue along week by week, and then you just go from there. But another Australian force that is obviously very, 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 very scary, the Brumbies, man. Like, just watching them against the Blues was ridiculous, because obviously they do what they do with Brumbies. They jump in and they kick for the line when they get penalty opportunities, and their maul just kills you every time, and they've still got some amazing attacking weapons. From the Brumbies, do you feel like them or the Waratahs are the strongest team at the moment?
You know, controversially, I'm going to say Waratahs just with their depth. I will say, though, the Brumbies are probably a tighter outfit in regards to their squad of 23 being a little more well-oiled. But I can see the Waratahs doing a bit more damage than the Brumbies this season. Mm-hmm. I think comparatively, the Brumbies game isn't as exciting. But, I mean, like we said off camera, their forward pack is something else. And, you know, we saw against the Blues what they can do. And there's not to say they can't do that against all the, you know, all the other competition, especially the Kiwi teams. But I'm a razzle dazzle type of player, so I like the razzle dazzle with the Waratahs.
I want some excitement in my life.
Hey, you know, I want to see Tyson Gamble scoring some tries, taking off his shirt and doing some push ups. That's what I want to see.
I mean, I'll pay for that too. Thank you very much. That,
but yeah, like I said, I think the Waratahs are just given their depth. And I think that here's the thing. I think the Waratahs can be down by 14-15 and come back very quickly. I don't know that the Brumbies can. But I'll also say that if the Brumbies are in front, I can't see them losing a game. And whereas with the Waratahs, I think they can get run down. So, you know, there's sort of the two different styles that we're seeing at hand here. But I think Waratahs make rugby look easier than the Brumbies at the moment.
That's a good insight. I like that. No, it's but I the one thing I will say about the Brumbies is I think I agree with you in those dynamics that you painted. Like, I feel like the Waratahs are a very dangerous attack heavy team, where I feel like if they're going to need points to score on the back end and they're going to make a comeback, like, I would back them out of any of the other Aussie teams to do that. I do like the fact, though, that the especially in the last game with Ryan Lonergan and Debrasini starting, and having players like Nick White and Noah Lolasio come off the bench to, like, finish off. That's something where you sit there and if you have your pieces out there in your back line, like your Andy Muirheads, your Tom Wrights, and then you've got, I think it was...
Bro, your boy Andy killed it on the weekend.
Mate, that like, I sat there and I was like... He's crushing it. It's long time coming, though. Like, he's been putting in the hard yak, and he's been doing the job. But I think it was Ollie Sapsford that came off the bench, I think, that came in relief. But I think they've now have the depth, if they have everyone healthy, to really have a good combination of starters and quality finishers. Like, if you have someone who's like Nick White and Noah Lolasio, who are regular starters in the Australian camp, that's something that's a force to be reckoned with. So yeah, no, that's
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, that's good stuff. But let's move on to our next segment because we had the Brumbies versus Blues and we had Josh Hyde from Northern Rugby Union. He's been a part of the in and around the Blues very long. He's been a long-time Blues supporter. I would love to hear his thoughts about what he thinks the Blues X factor is this season. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be right back with our next segment.
All right, everyone. In this next segment, we're talking everything Auckland Blues. Super excited to have my brother on the podcast, Josh Hyde. We were fortunate enough to work together in Auckland together, working, in our Auckland rep stuff. And he's now currently with Northern Rugby Union. So still in the mix in Blues country, working in the province and really excited to have you on the show. Thanks for being on, Josh.
No, cheers, TJ. It's good to be here.
Yeah, no, really, really good to catch up, my bro. It's been too long. But just before we get stuck into the Blues, how's everything been going with Northland? What's been going on, man?
It's been going good. I've actually just recently moved from a rugby development officer into the operations space. So getting a bit more in-depth into kind of rep rugby and competitions management. So a little bit of a different side of the game. But, hey, it's always a good opportunity to try something new, eh?
Yeah, I think if anybody's going to be good at that stuff, moving into that space, I think it's going to be you, mate. So I'm really glad that you've moved into that area and you're kind of just taking the bull by the horns. But let's get stuck into your Blues because I know you love chatting everything Auckland Blues. And I know they've come off a very tough derby against a very, very unique Brumby side, very forward dominant. And they also had a game prior against the Highlanders where they came in, they scored, I think, at least about 60 points, I think it was. And they did a pretty good job on one game and they struggled a bit on the other end. But everybody's picking this Blues team as one of the teams to really take it all the way this season. So the first question is just straight up is why you think the team is capable of winning Super Rugby Pacific this season?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest reason would just be that X factor that, you know, I think first game out, we put 13 All Blacks out in the starting team. And, you know, they've got the ability to really put teams away. And you saw that in that Highlanders game first up. And, yeah, they put 60 on. But, you know, they did concede 20 points. And that will be the difference for them this season is how do we defend it. And then you look at the Brumbies game and that X factor was there, but it was just the clinical finishes that we didn't have, which we did have the week before. So I think, you know, this week against the Canes, we should be able to rectify some of those issues and really see them flourish again. And even though the Canes have had two good wins to start the season, you know, I think we put them away this week and then carry that on throughout the season. You know, that X factor, the ability to put players away into space is really something that is exciting, and I think the brand of footy that the Blues are playing this year is exciting, and it's something that will really rejuvenate the competition. And I mean, Super Rugby Pacific itself is just exciting to watch. It's fun, and people are really getting behind it. And yeah, I think yeah, X Factor is definitely the reason why the Blues will go all the way this year.
And I think you spoke about the All Blacks that are in this current squad. Like, obviously, the Blues and a couple other teams are in very unique position to put out a big crop of All Blacks, but we now know that it's been very strict that they can't play five games in a row for Super Rugby Pacific. So they're really going to have to lean on their depth and certain players who aren't current All Blacks to really help steer the ship. So if you were to look at the players who aren't the All Blacks or at least current All Blacks at the moment, who are going to be the glue that really holds this team together?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think it's something that we really have to be mindful of. And I think exciting to see again this week in the team naming is you've got young Josh Fusitua and then you've also got James Lane named to start at prop, where you've got four very capable All Black props, but they're getting pushed around by some, you know, more NPC players that are on the come up. And then you've got the likes of Tolfa Funaki, who's really upped his game and has had two really strong performances to start the year. And then obviously you've got the Northlander Sam Nock as well in that halfback mix. And then you look at the excitement that you've got in the loose forge. You know, you obviously have got Akira and Hoskins and Dalton, but then you've got Tom Robinson, whose big red just gets around the park. And you've got Adrian Choate, who just puts out massive performances. And I can't wait to see another Northlander, Rob Rush, get an opportunity. He's exciting, one hell of an NPC season last year. It's only a matter of time till he gets a crack in. I think just like he did at NPC level, as soon as he got that first opportunity, he kind of never let it go. And I think, you know, that forward base is really something to be, you know, reckoned with within the Blues setup. And then you look in the outside backs, you know, you've got the likes of Rico Ioane at centre, and you've got Talia on the edge, and you've got young players like Jacob Ratamatavuki Netkins coming through who can do some really cool stuff. And even last week, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck had to come off in those dying stages, and you bring a player like Bryce Heem off the bench, who's a former New Zealand seven. And I think the depth that the Blues have got this year is something that will probably negate the five-game sort of limit, whereas some other teams, I think, they would be really struggling when it comes to, you know, for instance, what are the Hurricanes going to do when Jordy Barrett goes down? You know, I know they've got the likes of Josh Morby there, but there's nothing really past him. And so, yeah, I think the Blues will be fine when it comes to that five-game limit. I mean, it is what it is. We're in a World Cup year. The All Blacks are going to do everything in their power to make sure that they're in the best position to win. But I think the Blues are in a strong position to do that also.
You spoke about Robinson, how much of an impact he made as bro. Like when I saw him beat Wright in that line, he's such a unique player where you look at him and go, if you can outgun a fullback or at least someone who isn't outside back and you've got with that much speed and he still hits like a brick shit house, like he's not going away anytime soon. I think he's going to be a really good player to add into that mix. And yeah, I think the Blues are in a very unique position where they can lean on that depth and really go hard in that retrospect. But the one player you spoke about last is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and that's been a really big topic for a lot of the media and a lot of other people. And I would like to get your opinion for this particular Blues side. We know that he can play center. We know that he can play wing and NPC. We know that in the trial matches for the Blues, he was getting a few reps at fullback. And I think he had an extremely good game against the Brumbies. I think there was a couple of things that didn't go his way. And you could see the frustration kind of seep into him about a couple of calls. But I think his ability with his agility and movement and how dynamic he is in his gameplay, I think really, really shows that he's very versatile. So I would love to hear from you. What position do you think fits the mold best for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in this Blues team?
Yeah, it's a good question. And personally, I think I would have loved to have seen him transition directly to fullback first. Just being that's where he's played and he's deadly in space. And that's what we saw through his rugby league days and even in his early first 15 days coming through. You know, I think it was probably his more natural position. And it's probably the one thing that he hasn't been able to adapt to is just how he uses his footwork at second five. I think he's stronger at second five, but I think he just needs to get a little bit more direct and probably step into space rather than stepping sort of side to side. But that's just still a transition from kind of how league plays. And I think it would be hard to move him to centre because I think Rico Ioane has got that locked down, especially even up to All Blacks level. I think he's probably our number one at the moment, personally. And then on the wing, again, you've got so much depth out there and I don't think you can move Caleb Clark and Mark Talia out of the wing spot. So I think his best position is at second five. I'd love to see him spend some time at fullback and see if he could transition back there. But then again, you know, I know he's a great player, but does he oust some players into those certain positions? I don't personally think so. I think he has to kind of hone in those skills at second five, work on his distribution and really find that kicking game that he needs to be successful. And I hope he sticks to rugby. I don't want to see him go back to rugby league because he has been a sensation and he brings so much excitement to rugby. I think it would be a waste to see him go back to league and kind of just fill in and be the same player he was before, but probably not at that same high level. And I don't even know if he goes back and gets a fullback spot in league. So, yeah, I think second five is his best position. But, yeah, I guess time will only tell, see where he kind of moves himself around.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. I think that although he does bring something to the table with the fullback position, like I personally thought he did quite well in these trial games at a fullback position. But when it comes to time and space, when he does have that opportunity, he can make things happen. On the flip side, I don't know. Like you said, I wouldn't pick him over a Stephen Perifetta or like someone at that, or maybe a Zane Sullivan, who's been really showing that he's kind of his trajectory is really rising a lot at that fullback position. So I think second five is definitely his position for this Blues team specifically. I think if he went to another Union team, I think he probably would have his pick and choice, because he is such a talent, and they may not have as much depth or as much talent. I agree. Second five is probably the way to go. I would love to hear your thoughts if there's anything else that we haven't missed. Like what's going to be big for the Blues for you? Is there anything else that we're not thinking of?
I think the main thing with the Blues is that they had such a good season last year, and there has been some internal changes and, you know, some different personnel, and there's different things like the All Blacks limits, etc. So I think it's really just being a little bit patient with them as they go through a bit of a transition, bringing some new players through, cycling new transitions, new game plans, new sort of stuff going on. So I think that it's really just being patient and allowing them to kind of like, it's okay to lose, and they don't have to win every game of the season to win the comp. And I think that'll probably be how this kind of competition goes. I don't think we'll see a team go through unbeaten this year, and I don't think we'll see the same dominance from, you know, one or two teams throughout. I think it'll be a fairly even comp, and I hope to see that the likes of the Drua and Moana Pacifica get some scalps, and I think that will bring excitement to the tournament. Just be patient with the Blues. They've got everything that they need. We just need to let them find their feet.
Yeah, I think Leo McDonald and obviously Batesy's coming into the coaching group. I think they've got their own little headaches when it comes to selections, but I agree. I think they've got a good steam ahead of them. I'm not backing them against my Chiefs. So I know you know how big of a Chiefs fan I am, but it'll be a good derby when we come up and we play them again. But, mate, there's a reason why I love having you on and having a chat about footy with you. You always bring a good insight. So thank you so much for jumping on. I know you're a busy man with Northland and you're doing a lot of good stuff out in the community. And I really commend you on trying, taking a leap and taking that new position. So good on you, bro. I'm super excited to see what you bring to the table. And hopefully people start to see all the hard work you've been doing in New Zealand and with rugby. But is there anything else you wanted to share before I let you go?
Just up the game in New Zealand and obviously over in the States, and let's just see rugby keep growing from strength to strength. So thanks for having me on.
Nah, of course, brother. We'd love to see you over here when you get some time off. So hopefully we'll be able to catch up soon. And if not, at least I'll try and come over and I'll catch up with you in beautiful Northland. But that'll be our segment for the Blues today, everyone. I think we'll move on. We'll keep chatting about Super Rugby Pacific. We'll be back in a second. All right, so that was it. Another amazing guest that I was able to chat with this week, especially about the Blues. I know the Blues are one of the leading charges in people that are picking the Blues to be the winner of Super Rugby Pacific, this competition. What did you think about the Blues Brumbies game?
Yeah, like I said earlier, that's probably the greatest Super Rugby match I've seen in over a decade. It was thoroughly entertaining. They were slow. It was like a test match.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was just the quality of rugby was... Woo-wee, it was insane. I wanted the Blues to get up, mostly because in the Super Rugby, I want Reds to win on the Aussie side.
Yeah.
But no, look, Brumbies thoroughly deserved that win. I thought it was a really great game of rugby. It was just, it had everything, man. Edge of your seat stuff.
It was good stuff. I do agree. But we've got a pretty interesting match this evening. It's the Blues versus Hurricanes. I know the Barrett brothers are going to be going at each other, which is something I always love to see. It's the fact that their brothers are all on three different teams is still baffling to me. but it'll be a good matchup. But it leads us into the conversation about the Hurricanes, because we had a little bit of an incident last week between a very hurt and angry Artie Sarvia, which is something that we don't generally see. He's a very, very calm, collected player. He's very fun, and he's just explosive when he comes to the footy. But I do want to talk about the gesture that he made in the Melbourne Rebels game. So if you haven't seen what happened, go check on social media or go look at any news segment about rugby, because you've been living under the rock for the past week if you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll talk about, in my opinion, with the gesture he made, I do believe it was quite careless and not smart for a decision in his position. But I think with his professionalism and the fact that his dad called him straight after the game and said, that was a bad move. I think it was a heat of the moment situation. He said it himself. He said the one thing I did was I put my hand up and I said it was wrong. It's a Warriors game. I'm a Warrior and I'm going into battle team for my team every week. And I think that's all you can ask from someone who has a pretty flawless record. I don't think we can turn around and say like, oh yeah, ban him from rugby, ban him for weeks and weeks. We've made a gesture and now I'm saying I'm sorry. Like that's all that it is in the heat of the moment. And I'll chat about the lore and all that stuff in a second, but I would love to hear your thoughts, Hullah, because I know you have a bit of an insight on this situation that you'd like to share. What do you think about what happened and what?
Mate, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. He was annoyed. He's the captain, El Capitan, sticking up for his team. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Here's what it is really. If old mate doesn't be shit, Artie doesn't react how he's acted.
Who's old mate?
Rebels.
The Rebels guy. Yeah. Because I know Dane Coles was in the mix, but if anybody says anything about Dane Coles starting stuff, no one's ever watched Dane Coles play. That's what he does. He's got the niggle. Like if anybody expects Dane Coles to do anything else, that's stupid.
That's stupid. Yeah. Look, it's just been taken out of proportion. I agree with what I said. Look, is it distasteful? Sure. But does he have a history of doing this? No. Has he been pretty much an upstanding citizen for the game and rugby New Zealand rugby? Yes. Heat of the battle, no big deal. He's sticking up for his team. He's going, like he says, he's going into war, he's going into battle. It is what it is. If anything, I think we should applaud that we're seeing players, really let their emotion out, and not sort of try and hide behind it. Do you know what I mean? And I just think there's a little bit of mongrel that I liked about it. It reminded me of sort of watching rugby in the 90s, when you'd literally have people trying to kill each other. So I'm all for it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. For sure. Look, him getting in trouble is just for endorsement deals. No one actually cares.
The thing that annoyed me the most, I think, about this is like, I'll talk about the lore in a second, but Reece Hodge coming over and saying he's threatening to kill him. And I'm sitting there going, aren't we all doing that in a rugby game? Like, we're not going to come out and kill someone, but it's a physical game. We're coming out to whack them. Like,
here's the thing. If we're going to cause a stir about this, then people that are deliberately going headhunting and literally trying to knock your block off, then mate, instead of getting just a red card, like it should be automatic, 4 weeks, see you later. Because if we're really worried about, like, that's like, yeah, Matt, don't even get me started about him, mate.
I actually want to go back on previous episodes about and just kind of control F and find all the times we talk about Reece Hodge and just every time you roll your eyes and just everything just go,
mate, how does he still have a contract? I just don't get it. What am I missing here? I clearly don't know rugby because I'm the only one that sees what I see.
It's the boot. It's his big massive boot that keeps him in a contract, and then everything else they just go, we'll suffer them with the rest because he can kick 70 meters.
But yeah, look, I want more of it. I want Artie Sevier to be doing that a whole lot more. I'm all for it.
Can you imagine he comes out and just tries to scrap everyone every week and then just...
I'm here for it.
It'd be
him and Duplessis, I'm here for all that.
Bro, him and that freak monster Duplessis with... I don't know how his quads have gotten bigger, but they managed to.
It's like he just got... It's like he was like went into, got chiseled out a little more, came out, and I was like, damn, bro, what preseason have you had? He's killing it. The Hurricanes, I haven't seen them look this... it's the mongrel in them. They're just like... It's like they're really trying to kill people.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. I want that in the game.
It's not a bad thing.
There's too many pretty boys. There's too many pretty boys in rugby at the moment.
Yeah, I will say that. I missed the bit of rough and tumble that you would get from a lot of the older stuff. But that's us sounding like old codgers, mate. We sit there and we go, I just want everything back the way it used to be.
Bring back some eye gougers in the bottom of the ruck, a couple of slaps on their head.
Oh, bring back the Biff. Okay. But yeah, so the last thing I want to talk about with this incident, because I think we're pretty much on the same page. It's just been blown out of proportion. So the law that he has been cited on is law 9.27. So I believe it is a player must not do anything that is against the spirit of good sportsmanship. And in my opinion, I feel like there is so much gray area and ambiguity around that, that what I think once you make a call like that, how do you define sportsmanship? Like, because I see the professional game every week. I could point in 50 different directions and go, that's not sportsmanlike. That's not sportsmanlike. So I think if you're going to cite the law, I think you're literally going to have to put in the law, what is good sportsmanship?
Yep, exactly,
and then,
right.
And then go by that. Because once you open this can of worms, especially with the court of public opinion, the media, the how it plays, the referee's interpretation, like all there's so many things like player interpretation. They could come out in a media segment and go like, well, that's not good sportsmanlike, and just like take the piss out of it. So I feel like once you open this up, there's no closing it again.
I totally agree.
Does he deserve to get carded for it? Yeah, probably. Does he deserve to get a judiciary? I don't think so. He didn't hit anyone. He didn't do anything else. I think it's just got to be just move on. Just get over it.
Totally agree. I mean, yeah. If he gets cited and misses games for this,
yeah, it's gonna be an interesting one, because welcome to
this PC world. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here for it at all.
But I can't believe it's happening on the week that they're playing the Blues, where it's like it's like a local derby, and if you want to see two forward packs go against each other, like I understand the Hurricanes have got depth, like they've got Peter Larkai, and they've got Karifi, and they've got a couple other guys that can slot into that spot. You want to see Adi Savia in that game going against the Blues?
I want Adi Savia mic'd up every game, just so we can hear the audio. Oh, how good!
That would be amazing. That would be so good. Okay, well. Thank you for listening to our TED Talk, everyone, because we're on the same page about nothing. We just basically agreed about everything. This isn't
just
a
stroking
show.
Each other nice and slowly.
But we're going to get to our last segment, and it's all about the Gallagher Chiefs. So Huller's kind of left me, and he's become a Moana Pacifica fan. He's not a real Chiefs fan anymore. But we got a good... I like to throw random digs as we're about to go to segments, and you can't back yourself up. I just kind of go, nah, yeah, you've had your chance to talk.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
We were very fortunate on the show to have someone who is able to provide us from an inside perspective about the Chiefs, because he's lived in New Zealand, but from an outside perspective as well, because he's from Canada and he lives in the US, and he follows predominantly a lot more Major League Rugby, but watches a lot of international rugby. So he's got a good insight. I can't wait to hear from Daryl Keith, president of the Dallas Jackals fan club. We're going to go to our next segment. We'll be right back. Leading into our segment with the Gallagher Chiefs, we've got a very big fan who's lived in New Zealand himself, but he is from Canada and he has lived in America as well. Currently the president of the Dallas Jackals fan club out here. So it's always good to get someone like me who's roamed around the world, who's gotten different experiences and is able to kind of come into the aspect and give us perspectives from different walks of life. So we've got Daryl Keith here. DK, thank you so much for jumping on the Bonus Point podcast on season one. How are you, bro? What's going on?
No worries, Matt Kyoto. It's great to be on here to talk about something outside of Major League Rugby, another passion of mine, obviously, with Super Rugby Pacifica, as it's now called.
So I know we were talking about it during when we were recording in our podcast this week with the rugby rant, talking about Major League Rugby, but I got some insight from you. You were originally a Highlanders fan, correct me if I'm wrong, and now you're a Chiefs fan. You've done a bit of a wave, but I'm glad you're with the right team and you're supporting this team now.
Definitely, definitely. It was, the Landers when they had Malachi Fakitoa and Lima Sapawanga, these guys there. And then you get a guy that was who still represents Auckland, had played with the Blues a bit. He decides to go to the Chiefs. The funniest man in front of a camera, that Angus Ta'avao. You cannot not love that guy. He's absolutely hilarious and just a great dude. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to throw my support. You got D-Mac, you got all these guys down there. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go with like the kind of the blue collar. It's like, nobody wants to like the Crusaders because they're like the Patriots of Super Rugby. And you kind of feel like the Blues are kind of like the, you know, they're buying up all the stars. And I mean, back back then, you had like Jerome Kano was there, Charlie Fulmino, all these guys, and it was just like they still couldn't buy a good record.
Yeah.
But yeah, just getting with the Chiefs, I like the color scheme. I always liked everything about the club, and I like what it represents. And just the Waikato community was just really, really chill, very laid back, very blue collar down there in Waikato and the central North Island there. So what's not to love?
No, I love it, bro. Especially people that are coming from outside perspectives in, like people that haven't grown up around New Zealand, but when they come in, like they I hear the same thing every time is they love New Zealand, they love the culture. And I think especially when it comes to Waikato, it's something that's near and dear to my heart. So I'm ready to rip into this, man. I want to know, the first question is I'm going to ask you is what gives this team a competitive edge to win the Super Rugby Pacific competition? What do you think?
Man, you know, it's always that worry when these guys go on sabbaticals over to Japan. We saw Brody Retallick not come back in the best shape. We saw Kieran Reid come back half the weight he was when he went there. I still think Bowden Barrett left something in the Land of the Rising Sun. But, man, Damian McKenzie, I don't know what he picked up over there. But, man, the boy got his swagger back.
Oh, yeah.
He got his mojo back. He'd had some injuries. We saw him, the just gut-wrenching injury. He's not going to make the trip, all this kind of thing. And, man, he come back in these 2 weeks, and, I mean, the grin is back. When he lines up, it's that psychotic smile he does before he kicks. I'd love to ask him about that one day. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that going into the season, I didn't think that. But, man, honestly, seeing him back and then seeing, like, somebody like Sean Stevenson really picking up a lot of slack playing fullback, they're kind of switching out in between them at first, 5/8, and fullback. But I'm gonna say Damian McKenzie, man. Like, he's – man, he's coming back into form again, and it's nice to see a guy that, you know, in 2016, 2017 was really peaking, and now it looks like he's on his second ride, man, and I can't complain. I think that's going to be the big one that's going to really kind of push forward, but not to take away from anybody else. I mean, obviously, Tokiahu Samisoni having a great international season as well there at hooker, playing, getting a couple of caps for the All Blacks. Quintabaya, obviously, heartbreak with that. I thought he's going to have a great international season, come back in. Him and Anton Leonard-Brown were going to be kind of I thought that was going to be the 1-2 combo there at center, but unfortunately he's injured. But I'm going to go ahead and go with, yeah, man, Damian McKenzie, I think, is going to be the big edge that we're going to have in this Super Rugby Pacifica season this year.
No, I 100% agree. I think my missus said the same thing when she saw Damian McKenzie do the smile the first time when he's lining up the kick. And then she looked at me and turned around and was like, he looks like a complete psychopath when he does that. Like, it's absolutely crazy when that stuff happens. But it is his kind of – I remember reading an interview when he first got into Super Rugby, and it's kind of his just decompression is just take everything away, blast out all the nerves, and just kind of focus on it and just relax and have fun. So it is his way of kind of just getting into the moment and not really taking the pressure away from it. So, yeah, I think Damian McKenzie is really going to come hat in hand, ready to take anything that comes with him. It's going to be good.
Definitely agreed on that 100%, man.
So that leads into the second question. So I think with this whole, you rattled off a lot of different players. Like, you've got Brody Retallick, Soa Kula, Samisoni Takiaho, Damian McKenzie. You've obviously got a lot of other young guys coming in here, like Cortez Ratama coming in as a really good off-the-bench halfback coming in behind Brad Weber. So I think the big question is this a do-or-die situation for the Chiefs? Like, is this the winning formula? And then once those other guys go overseas, have they kind of lost their mojo, or do you think that they've got a good enough core that they'll be able to retain that for following seasons?
So, I mean, with Brody Retallick, I kind of wonder what's left in his gas tank at this point. I mean, obviously he's going to go to the World Cup this year. Is it going to be the 1-2 combo with him and Sam Whitelock? Who knows? We don't know. We know this is it for him. This will probably be his last little run in the Chiefs jersey. And I'm sure a former World Player of the Year like Brody Retallick would love to go out a champion in this. And then, you know, you talk about Pete Auguste Soa Kala. I mean, guy got some caps, obviously, with the All Blacks. He's going to split as well. Do I feel like this is a do-or-die year? No, I think this is the year that guys like Josh Lord, who have minimal caps with the ABs, they need to really show that they earn those caps. Him and Tupou Vaiai are both very capable at lock, so I don't think the loss of Brody Retallick is going to be that big of a kicker. But I think this is definitely a year. I mean, we've already beaten the Crusaders in round one at Orange Theory, which is tough enough as it is. That's that's a hard shack to go and play in. Is this a do or die? You know what? It's the year that it can happen. We've got a down Highlanders. I don't think the Hurricanes are going to manage much. They'll probably eke into the playoffs somehow. I thought the Blues were impervious until last weekend in the Super Round. God, that turned, you know, with Caleb Clark getting the yellow card and everything like that. So is this a do or die year? I think every year is a do or die year. I think the chances are in our favor much more this year than seasons past, because it's looking like Western Force not really putting anything together. Obviously, in Australia, you've got some tough teams, but we've got the Landers this weekend, so we're going to be 3-0 more than likely after this weekend. So this could happen. This could happen. Yes, this could be. Yeah. Is it a do or die year? I think every year could be, but I think if it's going to happen, this is the perfect formula for it to happen this particular season of Super Rugby, because everything's just kind of falling into place.
I love the confidence that it's like you're already saying it's 3-0. No, I'm the same, man. It's like you got to go in with that mentality, because I think even though the Highlanders can bring out all the stops, I think if we go into that with that mentality every week, it's gonna be a good matchup. It's gonna be.
And I feel bad for Aaron Smith. I think he's one of the greatest fly halves on the entire planet. Still puts in a proper workload even at 33, 32. I still think he's the man at scrum half.
Yeah,
but it's just when you've lost guy after guy after guy, and it's just, you know, it's just been, you know, love the stadium. Forsyth Barr is great because it's covered and it rains a lot in Dunedin, but like, yeah, you know, I feel a bit bad for him, obviously, but not really because I'm a Chiefs fan.
No, that's a good point. No, I'll stick with that too. So the last question I do want to ask with you is, you obviously talk about Damien McKenzie kind of being the catalyst for this upcoming season, but let's look at it in kind of our units. So in our forwards and in our backs. So if you were to pick one or the other, if it was the backs coming into play or the forwards coming into play, which contingent is going to be the most important? Because I think the one thing we've got to realize, especially with this season leading up into a World Cup, is that a lot of our All Blacks players, they can't play five games in a row. So like you said, your Josh Lords, who aren't current All Blacks, they have been capped, but or they have been in the camp, but they can't be in that current All Black contingent. They're going to have to step up and really come into the fold. But if you had to look forwards versus backs, which one's going to be more important to really lead the charge home for this Chiefs team?
You know what I've always loved about Super Rugby? I followed it since it was the Super 12, I guess, about that time, was that each year is always different. Now, granted, there's always the mainstays. The Satyrs have been really, really good for the last decade, obviously. I'm a big Blue Bulls fan. They had their nice little run there. And I think every year is different in Super Rugby. Some years you have high defensive years, and some years you have offensive explosions. I think we're in the year of offensive explosions this year. And with our backs, we can keep pace. I mean, I definitely think, like I said, Damien McKenzie, as long as Brad Weber does his job, we should be just fine there. But we also have Josh Iwani, no slouch himself, Bren Gatland, Warren's son. We've got these guys. We've got guys, young guys like Cortez Radema, who I'm sure any Kiwi boy growing up playing rugby, you dream of that black jersey, and this is your chance to show, hey guys, I'm right here. You put your hand up in times like this, because, you know, we're not super deep at scrum half. I mean, I don't know if TJ Perenaro is going to be ready, but it's like, I think it's going to be an offensive explosion this year, and I think we have the pieces to do that. We've got the speed. Like I said, it's going to just really depend. I hope we don't get any of the injury bug, but nobody ever plans for that either. But I think this is going to be an offense. I think this is going to be the year the backs can carry us to victory.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that. Like, when you even just look at the first fives in general, like you said, you've got Josh Iwani, Bren Gatland, Damien McKenzie. Like, those are three players that you can put on the field at all one time, whether it's a fullback, like your dual playmakers, all that type of stuff. And having those weapons or having them come on as finishers in the back end of the game, I agree. I think it's going to be something really to be reckoned with throughout this whole competition. And I think you mentioned Sean Stevenson as well. I think Nankerville's coming into really good form for this season. He's having a really good one. So, I'll take the backs as well. I think the forwards provide a lot with our gameplay, and they provide a different variety of skills, obviously. But I think the backs are really going to take it home.
And one last thing I got to say about the backs. Hopefully that they remember their brother that's no longer there. Sean Wainui will always be missed. We watched him score a 5-try game a few years back, and I hope that they play for him. They play for him.
No, I think they're always in the back of my mind. I know a lot of the boys that haven't even played with Sean. I think they knew his legacy. They knew what he stood for, and I think just the type of player he was, he left it all out in the field. And no matter whether it was 10 minutes on the field or he got that starting jersey, he gave it all he got. So no, it's a great way to end the segment. I love it, brother. Thank you so much, DK, for being on the show. I love having you on and having a chat about the Chiefs, especially from someone who loves New Zealand just as much as people that have grown up and lived there their whole life. So yeah, no, anything else you want to give a shout out before I shoot off?
No, man, go Chiefs, man. It's the home opener this weekend. I hope we have a good crowd out of FMG Waikato. It's a beautiful stadium out there. I got to get on WhatsApp and message everybody, see if anybody's going to the game. But yeah, should be a great one. Even if it's the Landers, still should be a great home opener for the boys. So that's
100%.
That's my shout out.
No, that's good. Thank you so much for coming on the show, brother. I appreciate it. We're going to jump to our next segment. We will see you soon. I don't know about you, Hulla, but I feel like because the game is growing more and more every day out here, like obviously it's not the same as back home, but it's really good to hear some guys that are not traditionally from rugby nations really give us an insight into different 100%. Types of gameplay and just get different perspective. Have you been noticing that out here, like especially living in America?
Yeah, definitely. It's been, I mean, we've seen the game grow in the last 4 years, you know what I'm saying? Especially with, you know, a West Coast team, you know, LA having the MLR side, and you can just see sort of the level of attendance at rugby games is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yeah, I'm loving that we can have actually conversations where I'm not rolling my eyes. being an arrogant rugby player and coach and fan, just thinking, you don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Yeah. We have had a couple of conversations like that with some guys, and like credit to them. Like they're putting in the energy to.
Hey, A for effort.
Yeah, A for effort, F for execution, because like some of the things we've heard over the years when we're out having a beer or we're just having a chat to people on the rugby fields, we're sitting there going, and then going, what the hell was he talking about?
Texting you low-key being like, mate, let's leave this conversation, please.
Just Irish goodbye it and see you later. oh, man. Okay, well, we've got the last part of our show coming up, and it's going to be Deal's Choice. So we're going to go through three different questions I'm going to ask you.
Gotcha.
I'm going to ask you for team to win the competition, the dark horse that could cause an upset. So someone that is on the fringes but could really just make a run for it. And I want to hear the team that you 100% think won't win Super Rugby. So
easy.
Let's start from 1, 2, 3. Who do you think is going to be the team that's going to win the competition?
Chiefs.
Okay, good choice. Good choice.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because you love the Chiefs. They've just looked very, very good this year thus far.
Yeah, I can just see you just saying that just so you can come back on episode 2. So
I 100% will too, and I'll bring back my Chiefs jersey. So you shut up.
No, I agree. I think that's my team to win the competition as well. I think that the Chiefs have come a long way in the past couple of years, and I think they now have, when it comes to depth, when we talk about that, especially in the New Zealand competition, they're stacked this year. And 100%. Obviously you've got players leaving, like we spoke about in the last segment with Daryl Keith and I, but I think this is going to be a year where the Chiefs are going to be forced to reckon with. So I'm hoping they get the dub this evening. I haven't watched the game, so no spoilers, but dark horse that could cause an upset. Who's your team?
Reds. I think Queensland Reds. Everyone's sort of written them off.
Interesting.
So I think here's the thing. If they can pull one over the Waratahs and Brumbies and maybe a Blues, Crusaders or Chiefs scenario, I think people have changed their tone really quickly. But they're my dark horse for sure.
Okay. I was, for my dark horse, I was going to go, I know it's not a dark horse because they are a pretty solid team, but I think when the teams are stacked up against each other, when you go Chiefs, Crusaders, Blues, I think with the three top New Zealand teams at the moment, I think the Hurricanes
probably like four in the lineup. But when you look at it, when it's top eight, I was going to pick the Hurricanes as my dark horse. But I think I'm going to go the Waratahs just from their attacking prowess and just from what they bring to the table and just the unique situation they've got at the moment. I still think the Chiefs are going to win, but that's going to be my dark horse this year. Like, I think if they can just like get a little bit of luck and then just stick with what they're on with the role, I think they're going to have a good crack this season. But I do agree. A lot of people have started to write off the Reds, which I'm kind of laughing a little bit because I don't think they know what's going on. Like, obviously the Reds aren't as stacked as a lot of teams, but they can put some phases together. They've got some freaks.
100%.
Okay. Last one.
Western Force. No chance. Absolutely zero. Look, they'll be lucky to win a game.
Really? You think so?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I think today and then maybe against the Highlanders, but that's about it.
See, that's my team that I think 100% will not win this competition because I think Highlanders are going to be mine. Like, I know they've got still some quality players on there. I don't think they're getting through. It's like, I think they'll be Look, lucky.
If the Highlanders don't beat the Western Force, then I've already lost my money that I placed on the bets for my Super Rugby.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, I've got time to switch it out, though. I've got time to switch it out.
You got a little bit. You got a little bit of time. Yeah, I think so. But, oh, man. Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I need to make some money back for the money I lost last year.
that season just threw me through a warp. Like, I was sitting there just going, wait, how did that team lose to that team? And then exactly. The following week, it's just like, it's just a paradox we jump in every week. It's just like, okay, so statistics and logic mean nothing. We're just going to come in and just go, yeah, just take my money. Who do you want to bet it on? It doesn't matter. Just take it.
I didn't even get to have a beer and enjoy this game. I'm just broke for a reason now.
Oh, man, good stuff. All right, well, it was great to be behind the mic, especially with you, brother. I'm super excited to be back. It's been good. But stick around and listen to the back end of our segment. We just got a little end just to end the segment of the episode. But keep in touch, guys. We're going to be posting on social media. We're going to be jumping on the pod every week from this far on. We're going to be having some amazing guests this season. I can't wait to get this on a regular basis again and just get behind the mic and just chat. But Hulla, birthday, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Mate, I hope Fiji and Drew do a good one today in Fiji. It's about to start. I've got it right here, ready to, it's a nice 29 degrees Celsius in Fiji, 14 kilometer per hour wind. So it's a northwesterly. So, put the ball up high and maybe it could be a bit of drama for them, but I'm hoping for a good turnout for them. And, look, I hope Moana Pacifica get up this weekend as well.
Right. Yeah, I think if they get a win and the Fiji and Drua get a win and the Chiefs got their wins.
I'm making a lot of money this weekend if that happens. Happy birthday to me.
All right. Thanks for tuning, everyone. This is the first episode of Season 3. Tune in next week for our next episode talking everything Super Rugby Pacific. You have a good evening.